what's wrong with using psychedelics? When this Shiloh was first presented to me, I didn't know what they were talking about. And it turned out that a couple approached the president that they wanted to get, and the husband was on psychedelics. I didn't understand the effects until I realized, and then convinced his wife that he was too holy for her. And that's why she got divorced, and he then went ahead and told the whole world that our president was keeping her in Laguna, and the husband was going around bad-mouthing us. So what's the clear perspective on psychedelics?
First of all, welcome to the world of Bezdin. Yeah. Psychedelics, Rabbi Isai, is unfortunately becoming very prominent in the Jewish circles. It's there are very big psychiatrists and psychologists who feel that it's the future of therapy, and it has a place. It does have a place. Psychedelics is something you take where you have kind of an out-of-body experience, and you're able to analyze yourself, and a person's able to get in touch with a person's inner consciousness, and a person's able to move on sometimes from trauma. It has a place. I'm sorry?
Is it similar to medicinal marijuana?
I don't know. I don't know. But it has a very limited role, and it's something that doctors, on some point, on a very short-term basis, they would recommend, even reputable, real Western, not quacky doctors, real reputable doctors. But psychedelics is now becoming, it's taking on a life of its own, and it's being recommended even in Lakewood by the usual suspects, unless it's being recommended on a very short term use by a reputable doctor, you're really becoming a drug addict. And that's not good. You're altering your mind. And a person, Khalil, is not allowed to alter his mind. It's a tremendous, tremendous sakana. And a person should deal with his mind as he is. And it's funny you asked that. And you could...
Yeah.
We can move on.
The question was
relevant,
though. Was it
medical? We can go on. We'll get back to it.
What the topic was about.
We're not having a psychedelic emergency here. Yeah.
Okay. Can one engage in practices and take advantage of the many gray areas or loopholes of financial gain from non-Jewish people? We're talking about things that are not illegal, as everything is reviewed and approved. The nature of how it's set up can be considered grievous gnevus das for a good. The pun intended. Okay. As an aside, much of the money is given to tzedakah. And is it okay for those institutions to benefit from that money?
I'm definitely not going to answer the last part of the question.
Whatever you want. But you should know like this, Rabbi Isai, I think from the person's question, he's making an assumption that Gnevus Das is mutter by a goy. And you should know the Gemara says Gnevus Das is also by a goy. So I'm going to explain this very quickly, but this is really a topic that we have to do in here. We'll do Mekach Tois and Gnevus Das, and it's things you have to educate yourself. Gnevus Das, Rabbi Isai, is usher by a goy, but it could be you're allowed to be mata, you're allowed to trick a goy, and that sounds like a contradiction, but that's the halacha. So the way it works is, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
Either mata, some shittus or tois, yeah, something, right? So you should know like this, Rabbi Isai. There are shittus that you're allowed to trick a goy. There are shittus you're allowed to trick a goy. It sounds like there are more holes you're allowed to trick a goy. If you hold, you're allowed to trick a guy. I'm going to try to say this, but I hope everyone gets this clear. If you hold, you're allowed to trick a guy, then there's a makar from the Gemara in Kuf, in Baba Kama, Kuf, Tezvav, Medbez, that's shot in the Gemara what the Amoraim did. If you hold, you're allowed to trick a guy, then that's shot in the Gemara. If you hold, you're not allowed to trick a guy, there's a different shot in the Gemara. But if you hold, you're allowed to trick a guy, then it comes straight from the Gemara. And yet, there's a famous Baragoyla that everyone likes repeating, and the Baragoyla says that someone who's Isaac in shadiness with Goyim, and this is the one by Gnevus Das, it's not the one by Mata, but the Be'er Goyla famously says that he's been watching generations come and go, and he sees how it is. A person's going to be Isaac and tricking Goyim, he's going to lose his money, Sheke'in L'Reglayim, it's not something you should do. And it's very frowned upon, he says. Rabbi Isai, if the Amiroyim did it, it can't be frowned upon. If you're allowed to do it, if you're allowed to trick a guy, the Rambam holds you're allowed to trick a guy, and I'm not going to discuss which case you are, which case you're not. But if you hold you're allowed to trick a guy, it comes from the Amoraim. You cannot say one word bad about the Amoraim. And yet the Baragoyla says that even those that do it, and Ami Mekel, you should know, Shekei Lurigleim, and it's going to, you're going to, Nechosin this mighted lion, and you're going to end up being Ani the Evian. Why would the Amoraim do it then? Rabbi Sai, the case of the Amoraim, without going through the whole case in the Gemara of Baba Kama, it's a very specific case that Rabbi Yochanan met someone, and it was very clear from Rabbi Yochanan from what was going on there that the guy was an absolute buffoon. And it would have been literally baltashkes not to take the money that was on the table over there. This is really pshat. I mean this seriously. The Baragoyle, it's an akroi. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't wake up in the morning and think, how can I swindle people? The Baragoyle is saying that when you build a business, and I've met so many people who call me, and when to try to explain, like, you know, to get a heksher of what they're doing, and my head is spinning, but there's so many weird, everything is being scratched, azoy and azoy. Rabbi Isai, if you're going to run a business that is built on gray area shvindelrei, you should know this is what the Berger was talking about. It's not going to have a kiyum. You have to be straight. Sometimes you can have very specific things, like a window maybe that's a little crooked. Try building a building on a crooked foundation. You can't build a business on crookedness. It will not last. You can make maybe good money for a small amount of time. You're setting yourself up for 100% failure, and that's what the Bear Grill is talking about. If there's a Shaila, are you allowed to trick a guy? And if there's a Machloikas, and if there are people who hold you are, it's talking about Akroi. You're not coming to swindle people, and you're not setting up a business to swindle, but a guy who walks into it and is fudded swindle ride because the guy's money is just pouring out of me. He doesn't know what he can't count. I'm showing the Gemara Baba Kama what was going on there. The guy couldn't know the difference between gold and silver, and he couldn't count either. It's fine. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to have walked off with some of his money because the next guy's taking it. But Rabbi Yochanan is not sitting and being a swindler and be a soidoy. And these people that they have these systems, how they make believe they're selling things online and they don't have it, and they have fake tracking numbers because they're buying it from here, and the whole thing, and it's against everyone's policy. Walmart, UPS, FedEx, and Amazon. Every single big company on the S&P 500, they're breaking every single rule with the miles and the credit cards and the buying groups and the sales, and the whole thing is one gracious stack of cards. That's much what it is, a stack of cards. And it won't be Kayim. A business cannot be Kayim unless it's straight. That's the way it always was, the way it was in the times of the Baragoyla. And we're talking about, this is free financial advice, Merv Rabbi Sai. Because that's really what the Baragoyla is saying. He's saying financial advice over there. He's saying, if you're going to be Mekel on the Shita, that Mata Akim is Mutter, you should know you are setting yourself up for failure.
Not much to add, but just to add, I think the question was also from a legal perspective, in this gray area, meaning to say, it's not a question of dishonesty. It's a question of, you know, am I going to get caught or something like that? But we used to say that there's a, that, you know, if it's approved and it's a gray area, and he's, you know, it's not going to last forever. These things are not going to last forever, like the rabbi was saying. And if a person wants to know a good piece of advice or a good litmus test to know, am I crossing over the line? Would I disclose to the person that I'm doing the business with what I'm doing? If I'm willing to tell them what I'm doing, then that already shows that's probably a good simon that you're okay. But if you know that the person you're doing business with, if they would be aware of everything going on and everything that I'm relying on and all the heterim and all the, and it's not mucha, they would stay far away and I'm covering things over, that should be your first simon that probably there's not an honest way to do business. And if you don't want to tell them what's going on, that should be your simon. You should probably start something else. So that's probably also where the Baragoyle is going. You know, so you know, from an honesty perspective and from a legal perspective, you got to be careful to establish your business that way.
I think also that I don't remember where Krishna said it. I don't remember, but if what you were doing was going to be on the head of the New York Times, the front page, whatever it was, and that you did kach for kach, would you be okay with that? And if you wouldn't be embarrassed if that guy before said that this is what you were doing, so that proof is a riot, that Baisa is not so good. If it's Taka Kasher, then why do you care if we blast anyone that's what you're doing? So if you wouldn't mind, it was going to be publicized, that's not so big riot. But I heard of Baisa,
just this summer, I was in the country, upstate New York, and Rav Pam's grandson was in the same place Medrash as me, and I went to Shalaychim to him. He told me it's an amazing maisa. I think this is miyuchad to a certain gedolim back, but I mean, it's a amazing maisa. That someone had given him, Rav Pam didn't like to accept gifts from anybody. He didn't like anything fancy, whatever it was. Somebody gave him this becher that was beautiful, like very expensive, beautiful becher. And Rav Pam didn't want to take anything, didn't want to take gifts. But he felt that if he took it, it would be such a good, big handoff for the person taking it from. So he said, you know what, fine, I'll take it. And he did it just for the sake of the other person. So then, this individual gave him this gift, saw him a couple of days later in a pawn shop, and Rav Pam was holding this thing at a pawn shop. So this person got so upset about him. And for years and years and years and years, he didn't talk to Rav Pam. He was so angry, he gave him a gift, he went to go to a pawn shop. So finally, many, it seems like it was years and years later, Rav Pam was like, what? Like, I realized that you're obviously very upset at me. What did I ever do? Says, you know, Rebbe, I gave you this becher, it cost me so much money. I wanted to give it to Matel to Yeshiva, and it was so meaningful to me. And so I saved the money for this. And then I saw Yeshiva go and give it to a pawn shop. Said, you partially missed the boat. He said, the pshat is that I didn't know how much it was worth. And I wanted to pay taxes on it. So I didn't know how much it was worth. So I took it to the pawn shop. They should evaluate the worth of it so I should know how much I owe in taxes for this income that I received. I never gave it to the pawn shop. I took it on my hand and I used it every little chance. So this is what his grandson told me over his voice. And I don't know if everybody holds it, you have to go that far. But you do see how every single time I was a how far they went, even in taxes, which is not an issue of Gnev or Toys Apple, but they that in the but how makri was, the Dimu Chuzatino Chol Pachin, if that's the side of the story, whatever it was, he was super makri in this Indian. This is from a Masoyan family, I don't know if you heard from his grandfather, but this is a nice thing going on. Just the Spitz honesty and Yashus that Rav Pam had. If that's the Gnev issue, I think it is.
It's a sure maisa because the regular gifts are tax free up to a certain amount. So speak to your
accountant. What a joy!
When you do a referral to you refer somebody else, and you're going to get a fee for that referral. You need to inform the person you're referring that you're earning a referral fee?
We actually went through this topic last year. Were you here last year?
I was, yeah.
Okay, we went through this last year. So why would you think you have to say, disclose it?
Because maybe you're negaya to give them advice that wouldn't otherwise be...
Right, exactly, because you are negaya. So you're negaya. You are negaya, and there's an issue in the Torah of giving an etzah she'ena hikenes, which means bad advice. Now, you're obviously not giving bad advice. You're giving good advice. But you're also aware that you're giving good advice within your best as you can, even knowing, you're trying, you know that you're compromised. You do have a negiah, you do have a bias, right? So when you disclose it, and this is what Rabbi Blush was saying, when you disclose it, what you're saying is that there is a bias, I'm doing as good as I can. Take it or leave it. Take or leave my advice, but this is what I feel. So you're being transparent. And you can't be better than transparent. If you wouldn't be transparent, so essentially you're saying, I have no negias, I'm just giving you a good etzah, and that might be also their isa. Because you do have a negias, right? Even though you don't think you're tricking him, but every time the team in the hitting team calls him safe, and the team in the field calls him out, they all really see it like that. You know, and I play in the summer paddleball. I'm amazed how I really, all the time, I constantly think that it's out. It's out. It wasn't in. It was out. It's amazing. You really, it just, the negias, it bends your mind. And I was really doing like a real analysis on this over the summer. That I was really trying to be honest. And I kept on seeing it out. And people on the other team saw it in. And many times, the bystanders would say it was in, and I'm like, I can't believe that was it. I literally saw it out. And so it really legitimately bends your mind. Your negias legitimately bends your mind. And people are not trying to swindle people. So that's why you have to just, you know, be transparent.
When Dave Kahn was here,
yeah,
So he added to that. In other words, your case is you're acting, you're working for someone, and you're there to give them advice, but you're getting referral fees by the people you're bringing to the table. So he said pretty strongly.
Oh, he's so strong about this. This is his thing. Yeah.
He said that you've gone past Gneva's das. You're into Gneva's moment at this point.
Right, because you're being paid.
Because you're being paid for the service, you're not doing the service that you say you're doing. So not only is Eitz Hashem again, it could be Gneva as well, because you're taking money to provide a service that you're not really providing.
But all you have to do is be transparent. And then he's still willing to pay you, because he trusts that you do have industry knowledge and you have expertise.
Yeah.
And he also assumes you're a good guy, and if you got bad feedback, you would stop referring. I mean, because he trusts you, right? So, and then it becomes mutter. It goes from being gnevis mamon to being mutter lechatchila parnasa toiva.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was recently a conference about the Chayshim Mishpat in England, and the speeches were in Yiddish. And the speaker was talking about this subject, and he was struggling to find how to say a kickback in Yiddish. So one of them said it's called Gneva.
That's great.
I would like to know about taking a job with hours that will have caused you to miss field at Tzibur or have to cut my starim of learning. Is it appropriate for me to do this? Is my chinuch hishtadlus versus pitachin to not take this job? Or if that's the offer you have and that's what Hashem is giving you, and additionally, what if the job is compromising on tzvi standards?
Oh,
does that change the system?
A lot going on here. You want to go first, or should I
tackle this?
Sorry?
I have two ma'asim shabbat.
Okay, so take it away.
I have two ma'asim shabbat with. I sat over a bunch of times, but I asked two shaylos, which both, two different shaylos that were exactly these two shaylos. Did I put this question in? I don't know. I don't think I did. But, I went to go.
The question was anonymous.
Okay, good.
Just
so
it'll
remain anonymous. So I went, I was like about a little bit over a year ago to go to the Shiva of Shana Halivas, that's all his house. I was in his house. And I asked him a whole bunch of shaylos. At that, he passed away just a few months after I was at his house. But at that time, he was mamish well. I mean, whatever, to anybody saw. And I asked him about 15 different questions that had built up over the past year. And I asked him one after another. And I sat there and was right in his house for about an hour, answered every single question I had. And two of the questions like this. One question was that I have a good friend of mine who learns the first Seder, and for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours in the morning. And he asked me that he has the opportunity to open up his own business. He makes a parnasa now, does well, seemingly. And he had a shayla if he has the opportunity to open up a business. But if he opens up the business, instead of learning 3-4 hours in the morning, he can only learn, that's about 1 hour in the morning, but he'll make much, much more money, but you'll do more tzedakah, and life will be easier. So I asked the Shiva of Shlomo Halevi Zatzal, I asked him, what did he think about this? So when I presented him the shayla, he said, okay, what's the story? Tell me the shayla. And I told the same story again. He said, what are your two sides? And I said it again. I said, because if he goes into a business, he can make a lot more money. I said, does he pay his bills? I said, yeah. So what are you asking me? And I said, no, but should he take the job? He said, why should he take the job? What does it say? Why should he take a job? If he's paying his bills and he's learning for Seder, why in the world, he couldn't understand what I was asking him. Why in the world, to make more money, should you stop learning a full for Seder? If you're paying your bills, it made no sense to me. And I said, okay, so I guess that's my answer. But I said, he asked me to repeat the question 3-4 times. I know, but you have it. Tutstaden here. What are the tutstaden? What are the two sides? And whatever. That was his answer.
But exactly. You can't become a doctor or a...
I didn't... This is a particular...
This is a very specific case.
It's a very specific case. It's a person who had a parnassus. It's a person who had a parnassus.
We're not going to drop off from
that. That was the answer. He has a parnassus. He can upgrade his parnassus at cost of his seder. It's a specific case.
That was one shayla. And another shayla was also fascinating. Somebody asked me, which obviously said was waiting on my grass. This person was out of a job. He did not have a job. This was out of a job for a couple months. And he got an opportunity, a job opportunity, to work at a certain company. And this certain company, he would have to work with other interesting people, and some of them were team, as I said, playing the other team.
Very interesting.
And they're going to be sitting in a cubicle in the same office with him. And they want to know if he should take this job, or not take this job based on the skill that he has to be exposed to. So again, this is the question I asked my yeshiva. So everybody says no chance. But I asked him this question, if that's part of his shtetl, he should take this job. And when I told him the type of people who have to work, I told him, no, but officially they're decent people and they don't talk about it, what they do behind closed doors, whatever. And when I told him this, he shuddered. Shook, like he was called to Shvitar, shook and said, I don't understand how he could possibly sit in the same room as such people. He said, how can he sit in the same room as them? I said, I don't know, but he says that he can't. And he said, the Shiva told me, he said, but such a Pagam HaNefesh, there's no way that's called part of the Shabbos. He said, tell him definitely don't take it. That's not part of the Shabbos, but well. Shabbos is a chayv, a chayv like a Shabbos, but do Shabbos certain people that are playing human nefesh just in the same room as them, that's for sure not called the Shabbos. There are two mice that I had in these, that recently asked for Shabbos itself. So the art site's coming next month. First the art site. But everybody says no Shabbos, obviously. But some, to give a little perspective, the two things I asked by Yeshiva, and this is what he responded.
Benegia, this specific case, it's really, like you said, it really breaks into two. A person, Zichid, doesn't have a chiv ishtadlis to do things that are connected to Torah. If it's not sinius, and it's not sinius where it'll affect him, it's not sinius to his standards, a person should be careful from that. When we discuss a person not going to have, he's not going to be able to daven a minyan. You know, my shver's father was a traveling salesman. They didn't daven a minyan the whole week. The alpi from the Gemara, right? According to the Gemara, a person not allowed to daven with him. Aschir yoyim, poil tzedek, chilkia, right? Abba chilkia, Gemara makas, Gemara kainis. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to daven a minyan. Aschir yoyim, a poil is not allowed to daven a minyan. He's taking time from the boss. These halachas are bottle because bizmanenu, we allow a person to, but in the times of the Gemara, that's how it was, right? So to say that a person is not allowed to take a job if he's not going to be able to daven a minyan, you can't say such a thing. A person can't say such a thing. A person who's makbid and it's really important to him and he's taking, and he's makbid on minyanim, and he doesn't go on vacations for a week in the summer and not have a minyan, right? And he's taka makbid. Do you want to know if he's mechuyav to take the job or should he hold shtark? Person doesn't know what he's holding, but there's a makam, there's a taka makam for a person to hold stark, because that's taka he's holding, and he shouldn't have a yurida. A person's not mechuyev to have a yurida. A person has to be very, this is very important, a person has to be very genuine with himself, where he's holding, and I've heard from my Rosh Hashiva, when we'd discuss Shaduchim, he would say certain things that a person should be looking for, and certain things a person should have betochen about, but again, a certain economic cheshbonos, and he would say what he feels, and he would say, it's very important to know, you can't have a tochen on my cheshbon. If this is what I hold, you have to really feel like that. You can't. And you have, and the tochen is a sukkah in itself, and the tochen against ishtadlus, you know, and in Lakewood, you hear, you know, these people, one of the things you hear about the tochen and ishtadlus, you know, people say, there's no such thing as ishtadlus. You ever heard this? No such thing as ishtadlus in shaduchim. You know the thing from the goyim? Yeah. This is one of the often repeated things. There's no such, there's the whole Ezra's Noshim of Lakewood says this multiple times a day. There's no such thing as Neshtadlis by Shaduchim. These are people that send their daughters to see a Shadchan multiple times. You understand? These resumes, they're sending pictures around to anyone who asks. You have a picture, you send a picture. And for some reason, they keep on saying this. There's no such thing as a Shadchan. Now, I'm not going to get into that conversation. Obviously, there's a Shadchan by Shaduchim because Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer to find the Shidduch. So, obviously, I don't know what religion they're talking about. And if the Goyim said, and he did, the Goyim meant something else, and we can get into that. But obviously, there is ishtadlus by Shaduchim. And the Gemara says that how do you marry your daughter? You buy her makeup and nice clothing, and that sounds like ishtadlus for Shaduchim, right? So, obviously, there is ishtadlus for Shaduchim. And for some reason, they walk around saying there's no such thing. And it bothers me because you can't get anywhere in life if you're not going to be genuine. If you believe it, first of all, it's false. But if you do believe it, then what are you doing? But they're being Isaac and Ishtadlis the whole day while they're announcing there's no such thing as Ishtadlis. I don't know how I got into this. But it's that's my point. My point is it's very important to be genuine in where you're holding. And it's very hard for me and Rabbi Silver and Rabbi Blezer to answer questions about Ishtadlis and Betochen. It's very case sensitive. It depends where you're holding. It depends what is an aliyah for you. What is a yirida for you? A person should not do yiridas. under the guise of a shtadlis. The Rebbe doesn't want you to do that, but a shtadlis is a real thing. A person has to do a shtadlis. What the goyin means, I believe what the goyin must have meant, even though we know our pitayr is a shtadlis by shidduchim, is that the chevta of a shtadlis is a certain guise that a person is mishtadl, the bracha, everything that comes, let's say parnasa, right? A person opens a company, right? If you think, right, you're going to say, well, hishtadlis, you do hishtadlis, but it has no shaykhis to what earned, right? So it comes out that to go and become a greeter in Walmart and to become a doctor would earn the same amount of money because the work has no shaykhis to how much money you make. But the world's not like that. So the way it works is a person creates a machzik bracha, a kli machzik bracha. The Rebbe Shalom gives you. You don't earn it. You don't take. The Rebbe Shalom gives. If you tell a kid, I'm going to give you a cookie, go like this. He can't say, I took it. I created a cookie. You gave him the cookie. The Rebbe Shalom, the shtadlis is you create a kli machzik bracha for the Rebbe Shalom to give. And the Rebbe Shalom gives. And it's all from the Rebbe Shalom. And nothing you do earns anything because it's all from the Rebbe Shalom. But there's a certain guise how it works. It works that a person should be Isaac in his emuna and his ishtadlus that he does. He knows it's the Ribbono Shel Olam giving. And in Shidduchim, there's no correlation. And that's, I think, what the Goyin means. There is no connection between what you do and people see it all the time. Nothing. You have to do ishtadlus. You have to do ishtadlus. Avraham Avinu was sent to Eliezer for Shidduchim. There is no connection and people see it all about what you do and about what the Ribbono Shel Olam sends. And people see in Shidduchim Yad Hashem in a whole clear way because it's almost like it doesn't work. But of course a person has to do ishtadlus. But to answer the question is, depending where a person's holding, if a person is be yisoide, a person could be mishtadl, even if in a business he won't be able to daven a minyan. If it's important to him and it's hurting him and it's bringing him down, and in all areas of his life it's lined up like that, he doesn't, then it's 100% okay, maybe not to take such a job. If it's not such a thing, then he could take such a job. Tznius is not a person to compromise under the guise of a shtadlus.
No, I'll just add is that for a lot of people in today's society, it's a little different than the poil chapping a minion. Their connection, if their only connection to a shul, to a makom torah, to a koil, to a olam, is going to be a Shabbos morning, and they're going to show up, and they're going to show up for the kiddush, they're not going to be connected to anything. And for a lot of people, the minion is not about the minion. The minion is about the connection to the place, and it's about the learning before and the learning after and the connection. And to go a whole week without any connection whatsoever is very, very scary. A person's going to end up on their own, and that's not a good thing. So if a person has to find a replacement for that particular thing, if their schedule won't allow for this, it's going to have to be for that. So because it's not just the halachic, you know, shikol of tefillah b'tzibur versus this, it's really a much broader shaila of a person like being disconnected from anything and just going, waking up, going to work, coming back. It's a dangerous place to be. Maybe you could get a chavrusa, you know, at work because we don't pass it at the pilot anymore, so you don't learn at work.
Right, you won't.
Or whatever. Yeah. But the point is, it's very important. I'll share one shaila, unbelievable shaila. We had one time that somebody, I was asking him to come learn in the morning, so he said, I'm willing to come learn in the morning. But if I come learn in the morning, this is the amount of time I have from the time I wake up to gotta go to work. This is my time. So I'll come learn in the morning, but then I have to go to a later minyan. If I go to a later minyan, I'm going to have to leave by Asher Valtzian every day.
Okay.
So should I, you tell me to come learn in the morning, I'm going to come learn, but you should know I'm going to go to a later minyan then, and I'm going to leave by Asher Valtzian.
Okay,
so I called up Rabbi Forsheimer. Now, I sat in Lake with Rabbi Forsheimer, and while he's looking at a lulav and answer, he answered shailas on Arba Chalkei Chosho Mishma. Arba Chalkei Chosho Mishma at the same time. So I called him with this shaila. He said, I can't answer that shaila.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
he didn't want to answer the shaila. You think, okay, leaving Hashem on Tzina is such a big deal. I mean, but it's a chomer de gazach. A person doesn't take the tefillah seriously, or they're not learning. Whatever it is, it's a shikol. But for a person to just very easily, you know, on the other hand, obviously a person has to be shtadlus, has to be genuine, and it can't just be like, you know, and I really care about it, it's an excuse to be lazy, but it is a big shikol. The way they dive in, but more and their connection to Behuto Mokum Torah, the connection to their star, etc. So, yeah.
100%. As you know, I don't live in Miami, I live in Lakewood, and it's a very chashva city, very chashva city. And I learn with chavrusas, and it would be easier for me to learn in an empty shul, much easier, because I could get my own table, my svarim, it's much easier for me. And I see how important it is. I learn it in a, I learn in a koil. Even though I'm not learning what the koil learns, but I learn in a koil consistently, and it, I get shaykhs with the ilm there. I learn my own things. They learn their own things. And it's a very important thing that you should spend your time with Bnei Torah. You should spend, you have no idea, all of you, how important it is to spend time in this koil. This is a bastion of sanity in a world gone amok. It really, really, it's like no other time in the history of the world. If you're going to learn in your study, if you're going to learn with a chavrusa on the phone, sometimes you have to. And in the summer, I'm upstate, and over the weekends, I learn with my chavrusa over the phone. It's not the same. A person, it's so important to be mekashe yourself to amakum teira, to be with you in the light that are cracking. These are people that are mechaber to the emes, and you are all of us are just treading water in our ilma sheker. And no matter how much you can, you should make it the most important dogish. It will change your life, and I'm assuming it has because you're here. So I'm really talking to people who are not, but. I really mean it. It's so important. You should speak to your friends about this. And this is critical. Even if you're learning and you have an app and I don't know what you're doing and you're learning Daf Yomi and this is a different discussion, but you have to be neschaber to Amakum Torah, to people that are shaku and Torah, that they see the MS as it is because they're not out there in the insane world. This is a very, this is Mamash Ateva. A teva of sanity. It's for mental health. It's for you. It's for your family. It's for your kids. It's for doiris to be neschaber to such a makom. Okay. We have more?
Sure. Oh. And if it's related for early meeting, that's all of us.
Yeah. Right.
In an ever progressive technological world, how much does the usage of AI need to be disclosed? Specifically, in such an industry that generally requires talent, such as engineering or interior design, when the client is hiring and paying a premium for the designer's work, must the company disclose that it was AI that is available to everyone that created the custom masterpiece?
You can't trick people. It depends on the industry. It depends on the standards. It depends on the protocol. It depends on the medical item. Is the medical item changing? It is, but you can't fool people. You can't be going to DAS people. So those are general things, and getting anything more than general, I can't be helpful.
I think if you could add to that question, there were two people that are listening to speech writers. Now you have a chat GPT. You have disclosed that a person now, wait a second, you can get GPT to write speech.
The use of ChatGPT is not independent of a person at this point.
That's content.
So therefore,
it's content that's been designed with a brain.
You're trusting the person for to give it to you.
That's a tool he's using.
The tool they're using, yeah. And we're at the point that you should be aware that they're going to be using that.
It would almost say an accountant can't use a calculator. It's a tool he's using. Sorry?
How do you put a disclaimer in your content?
You don't need to. You don't need to.
We're an accountant using AI.
A writer.
Saying you have to be mechalik if you're in building.
So you're taking a chayes on what it says there. So at the end, you're taking the chayes on what it says.
That would be embarrassing. You're giving you the input anyway. You're providing the input.
You're providing it. You're
just fine.
What?
I use the AI to publish an article in a scientific journal, and they have a policy that you have to cite it at the bottom of the paper. Yeah. And I had to do that. If I didn't, it's a
so those are standards.
You use for information, but what if the person has
you have to show your sources
and he's just putting it together?
Let's say you don't have to show your sources, you know. Mm-hmm. At some point, if I'm a builder and I'm using tools and then there's new tools, I'm building a house and there's ways to make these notches and these beams, and I have new ways to do it with lasers. I don't have to disclose because it's the same product and it's me doing it using a tool.
What is a good question we discussed is when you're somebody that charges by the hour, and this job pre-AI would have taken me 10 hours and I was billing by the hour, and now I could do the research, finish up the whole job in 3 hours.
It's a great question.
So there, you know,
what are you going to do? You're going to lie? What are you going to do?
Right, no, so something you have to change your billing, your
right,
billing method.
Right, so what do we call billing out? What do the mechanics call it? They have a word for it. Great word. Billable hours? What do they call it? Yeah, billable hours, but it's not real. So you have to change it to billable hours. Yeah.
Okay, I think.
Let's say I'm working for somebody and they used to be 10 hours to do something.
Yeah,
And now it takes me less time to do it. So what do I do with my extra time? Do I
give it
to
my boss?
No, do I give it to my boss that extra time, or can I now do my own things because he expected to be done in 10 hours and I can do half the time?
What are you
Maybe I can do that time myself.
That's an excellent choice.
You can never use time for yourself if it's his time.
If you're a cabin, you're a cabin. You got
to say,
salary work is maybe flat for the year. Maybe an extra time I can use myself.
It could be. It could be because you're getting the job done.
Your boss is expecting you to accomplish the job.
He did.
At the end of the day, you accomplished the job.
Okay. Half the time because I have the tools.
So you did your job.
He'll catch up with you. He'll catch up.
Yeah, he's going to catch up
This
with
is
you.
A question for a week because he'll catch up.
He's going to catch up.
Because if the industry's doing it, okay. Shkoya.
Shkoya, thank you very much. See you tomorrow. Shkoya.